Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I want to bring the message from 1 Chronicles 13 and chapter 15. What we have in these two chapters is a worship service gone wrong and a worship service going right. That's what we'll find in these two chapters. Now I want to give you just a little bit of a history lesson concerning the ark. The chapter was read to us and they went after the ark. The ark had been taken by the Philistines. And I want to just give you a little bit of a history lesson on that, and then we'll look at chapter 13. The Ark of the Covenant, it tells us in the Scriptures, back over, I believe, in Deuteronomy, it was made of shittim wood, and it was lined within and without with pure gold. Within the Ark were preserved the table of stone, the broken law, which God gave to Moses upon the mount. That law was put inside that Ark. Upon the lid of the ark were the figures of cherubims. And when the ark was at rest, between the wings of the cherubims was a Shekinah. That was a bright light which represented God's presence. That light, that Shekinah, what they call Shekinah glory, that was between the cherubims, the wings of the cherubims, it represented God's presence among them. And the lid of the ark was called the mercy seat, made of pure gold. This seat represented Christ, who is our mercy seat. Christ is our mercy seat. Christ is our ark of the covenant. In Christ, God's broken law was kept on our behalf. That's the only place it could be kept, was in Christ. Also in the ark was the pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. After the ark was made in the wilderness, it was kept in a secret place of the tabernacle. After they made the tabernacle, they put it in what's called the secret place, which is called the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, in the Holy of Holies. No one was allowed in this place except the high priest, once every year, and then not without blood. You couldn't just come into that any time you wanted to. And there had to be blood when the high priest came into it. These two things were established, and these two things we're going to see were missing here in chapter 13. The priest, no one ever came before God except the priest, through the priest. And the blood, who represented Christ. See, the priest represents Christ, our high priest, and the blood represented the blood of Christ. When they slay those lambs and sprinkle on the mercy seat, that represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the high priest would take his smoking censer, and he'd go in there. And he'd go in and he'd sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat and make an atonement. That's what he'd do. Then when the ark was moved, it was covered over so that no one could see it. And it was carried. Notice this, it was carried by two staffs, that's how God said you'll carry it, two staffs covered with gold upon the shoulders of the Levites, the priests. They were the only ones who were to move the ark. They were the only ones to touch the ark. They were the only ones to handle this ark. The Levites, the priests. The priest represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this ark that pictured Christ, this ark which represented God's presence, it was taken by the Philistines during a battle. They brought it from Shiloh. They brought it into a battle, and it was taken. The Philistines took it. And when the Philistines took it, God's hand was very heavy upon them. I went back and I read this portion of Scripture, and His hand was heavy upon them. So they put it on a cart drawn by two milk cows. They got rid of it. They couldn't have it. This thing was causing death and sickness, and I tell you, you don't mishandle the gospel. You mishandle the gospel, it's dangerous. It's deadly, as others found out. But they put that on a cart, and they sent, and it was drawn by two milk cows, and they just turned them loose. Well, these two milk cows went to Beth Shemesh, providentially. Providentially, God led them to Beth Shemesh. Nothing's left to chance, is it? God guides the oxen, God guides the birds of the air, God guides the hand and thoughts of every man. God guides everything. And he turned these oxen loose, and God guided them right to Beth Shemesh. The men of Beth Shemesh, out of curiosity, looked inside the ark. They opened the lid of it up, and they looked inside, and God killed 50,070 men. Now, you say, that's harsh. You say, that's just too hard. Look how many have been killed since Adam fell. By one disobedience, many were made sinners. Look how many billions of people have died through that one disobedience. That's God's strictness. That's God's holiness. And when God says do it this way, this is the way to do it. And we'll see this as we go along. That's not to be changed. So he killed 50,070 men. Then it was removed to Kirjath-Jearim and taken to the house of Abinadab, where it stayed until the days of David. And then it came into the heart of David. He wanted to bring the ark. David wanted to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. He wanted to bring it back to the city of David. He wanted God's presence there. He wanted, and I understand his thoughts, and I believe God put it in his heart. But there's some things that David went wrong on. And we'll see it. And then God corrects him in chapter 15. We'll see that. So verse 1 in chapter 15. David consulted with his captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, and with every leader. He consulted with the people. Well, the first problem I see here is David consulted with the wrong ones first. He consulted with the wrong ones first. His first consultation should have been with God. Is that not what he should have done? His first consultation, when it came into his heart, he should have went before God with this matter. But he went before the people. It's God's ark that he's going after. It's God's presence that he desires. You'd think we'd apply to God how to do this. How do I come into God's presence? How does God's presence come to me? God's the one I need to apply to find out. I need to apply to him. So David consults with the wrong people first. Let everything, the scripture tells us, let everything be done by prayer and supplication. Especially in this great matter of worship and seeking God's presence. My, we need to seek God in prayer for that. And to worship, that's what we've gathered here this morning for, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God help us to do that. God help us to do that. If God's presence is to be among us, how can that be? How can a holy, immaculate God come into my presence? How can He do that? It can only be through the mediation, the blood, the sacrifice, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only way God can come into our presence and we can come into His presence. It's through Christ. And we're going to see that was missing. The main ingredient was missing. So in verse 2, David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, well, I can stop right there. David sought the will of the people first, but still the will of God first. It should have been, this is what David should have said. He's the king, okay, he's the leader. If the Lord will, we will go and bring up the ark to us. Period. It don't matter what my will is. I tell you, it does not matter what my will is. When our Lord was teaching the disciples, they said, teach us how to pray. And he said, thy will be done on earth and as it is in heaven. He didn't add anything or say anything about my will, did he? My will didn't even come up. That's not... Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what David should have done. If the Lord willing, this is what we're going to do. But he sought the will of the people first. And he said in verse 11, verse 3, let us bring up the ark of our God to us. Well, Here's another problem. The wrong us is bringing up the ark. God didn't tell David. David was out of position. David was out of order going after that ark. That was the Levites' job. That was their job. The royal earth is going after the ark. Only the Levites were to carry the ark. Only the priests who represented Christ. So that's very important. It's who represented Christ, our high priest, can bring us into God's presence. Only the priest. Only our high priest can do this. Christ is the only way to God, and we cannot change that. We cannot. That cannot be changed. We do not change the way that sinners are saved. We do not change the way that we come into God's presence, which is through Christ. We don't change that. Not at all. We do not change the ordinances. We don't change anything God has set down. We don't change. We must have God's priest. We must have the blood and the sacrifice of Christ in order to truly worship God. If that's missing, this worship service is foolishness. If Christ is not present, if Christ is not set forth, if His blood and His sacrifice is not in the forefront, we cannot go forward in worship. We can't do it. Christ must be there. The thing, here in verse 4, the thing seemed right in the eyes of all the people. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. When are we going to learn that? The thing was right in the eyes of the people, but not right in the eyes of God. And I put me a little footnote here. We should have learned from Eve about our eye problem. It's not what's right with these eyes, it's right with God. It's what God's right with. It's what He set down. What troubles we meet with when God becomes second and our will and desire becomes first, even in a good matter. Even in a matter of worship. We must seek His will. So what we have here in this chapter is a worship service gone wrong. It's just gone wrong. And it keeps getting worse. You know, when you start without the priest, the blood, and the sacrifice, it keeps getting worse. And that's what happens here, we see. So David, in verse 5 and 6, David gathers all Israel together. David gets everyone involved. David is acting more like a politician here instead of a king. See, David's trying to just get everybody involved here to go down. David's the king, the leader, let's do this thing right. He's acting like a politician is what he's doing. This should have been a solemn occasion. I mean, the most solemn occasion that they had. This should be going down after the ark, bringing God's presence. You come into God's presence, God comes into your presence. That's a solemn occasion. Worship is a solemn matter. In verse 7, they carried the ark of God in a new cart. Now that's another thing. I mean, see how this thing keeps getting worse? It just keeps going downhill. They tried to carry the ark the same way the thieves that took it. You know, when the Philistines took the ark, they put it on a cart and took it back to their country. So when Israel comes down after it, what do? They put it on a cart, a new cart, and they're going to bring it back to themselves. That ain't going to happen. That's not that. God will chasten His people. God corrects His people. That's not going to happen. They left out the priest who represented Christ. They left out the sacrifice. They left out the blood, and they brought a cart. They left out Christ. That's what they did. They left out Christ. We do not need a new cart. We don't need a new way to help us in worshiping God. We need Christ. That He's the one who enables us to worship the living God. He's the only one who enables us to do it. No other way. He's God's appointed priest. He's God's appointed sacrifice. It's His blood that is the appointed blood. The ark, it says, was to be carried. That's back over in Deuteronomy. The ark was to be carried by the Levites, not some dumb animals. God didn't call dumb animals to carry the ark or to present the gospel. He called Levi. He called men whom He has chosen, whom He has anointed. Not some dumb animals, but men chosen of God to carry it upon their shoulders. When I read that, I thought, they carry it on their shoulders where they can see it and everyone else can see it. You put something up on your shoulder, you can't help but see it, can you? It's right there for everyone to see. And that's what they were supposed to do. Christ is to be carried by His ministers for all His people to see. All of them to see. God did not appoint a new cart. And David should have known this. David knew that he should have known this. He should have known better. And would have if he had sought God first about this matter. If he had sought God first instead of the people, David would have done this thing right the first time and saved a lot of trouble. He'd have done it right the first time. If he had sought God. Leaders are to lead. They're to lead. And then it says in verse 8, they were all dancing. David and all Israel prayed before God with all their might, with singing, harps, and psalteries, and timbrels, and cymbals. And they were all, I tell you what I see here. Everything seemed good. Everything seemed great. Everything felt good. And there was no order. It was all out of order. There was no order to what they were doing right here. It said they were doing it with all their might. And you see, you've seen some of these services. I've been in some services where it was out of order. Just completely out of order. And Christ was totally missing. And why? That's what was going on here. Everything, it felt good. It seemed right. Until God said enough. God said enough. Now, if a bunch of heathens who didn't know God's doing this, He'd just let them go. As He's letting many of them go their way now. But He's not going to let His people go. They're going to do it right. Until God said enough, God's going to put a stop to this ignorant zeal. That's what it is, ignorant zeal. And He's going to do it in a very hard way. God's way is not to be trifled with. Not at all. The oxen, it says in verse 9, the oxen stumbled. Some of the writers said they slipped in the mud and tripped. I put down here, God tripped them up. God's going to stop. God providentially tripped those oxen up. That's what happened. God did it. And as they reached up to save the ark, He's going to protect it. That's God's ark. God keep that ark. That's God's Christ. You don't have to feel sorry for Christ. He take care of himself. And that's God's ark, and nobody's to handle that ark but the priest. And when Uzzah reached up to touch it, it says in verse 10, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him. God killed him. Because he put forth his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. No one. And this is how serious things are with God when it comes to the gospel. Christ. No one was to touch the ark but the priest. God will not change the order. He will not change the order. And sometimes the lessons are very, very hard. Very hard. And it says in verse 11 that David was angry with God for this. David was angry with God. Can you imagine that? A man, a sinful man being angry with God. Everything God does is right. Everything God does is wise and holy. And there's no flaw in it. And yet David is angry with God for this. Well, first of all, he still hadn't seen the error of his ways yet. But he will. You know, there's some things that's made us angry. I have to say, there's things in the past that I didn't understand or made me a little angry. But I tell you what, in time God teaches the lesson. You learn. You learn. David's anger in verse 12 turns to fear. He was angry. He's angry with God. And then it turned to fear. You see, he thought he might be next, seeing God's no respecter of persons. God would kill a king as well as a pauper. You know, there's only one person who's ever impressed God. That's Christ. Nobody else has ever impressed him. Not one of us has ever impressed God. Only Christ. And David realized that God is no respecter of persons and he's the leader of this foolishness. Now that's a terrifying revelation, isn't it? To be the leader of such foolishness. Of what he's doing, carrying on here. The scripture tells us that our God is consuming fire. And usually when we use that scripture, we're thinking about the wicked. Our God, the consuming fire, He consumes the wicked, and He will. But it's our God is a consuming fire, and He's going to consume our dross. And the closer He draws you to Him, the more dross you're going to get burned off from you. And that's what He's doing here. He's going to burn away some of this dross and this foolishness that's going on. In verse 12, David finally asked the right question. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" If he had just asked that first, how shall I do this? How shall I go down and get the ark and bring it to me? Could have avoided all this foolishness that went on. All that could have been avoided. If he had just asked this question, how shall I bring the ark home to me? How shall I come into God's presence? How can I, a sinful man, be justified with God? I tell you what, if a man really asks that question, you'll get the answer. God will give you the answer. He's not withholding the answer. The answer is hid in Christ. He's the answer. That's how I can bring His ark home to me, Christ. That's how I can bring God's presence in. I can come into God's presence, Christ. And you notice there in verse 14, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. And you can write, I've written in red ink at the bottom of that, the house is blessed where Christ is. That ark represents Christ. The house is blessed where Christ is. You can write that down. Now, turn over to chapter 15, and we'll finish this message. Now he gets it right. Now the worship service is going to go right. So it says, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place. See, that was better for 3 months. And so David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. That's what it was supposed to do the first time. The ark was to be put into the tabernacle there in the Holy of Holies. It's not going to just sit out in front where everybody can... I mean, this thing's going to be done right. So here, David prepares a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. He didn't do this the first time. But now he does. He now does it right. Now he makes preparations for the ark. Now it's going to be put in its proper place where God said. And I thought of this. We must always prepare our hearts to receive Christ and give him his due respect and glory, the glory and honor that a king deserves. We must seek God to prepare our hearts always to receive Christ, even this morning. We seek God to prepare our hearts that we might receive Christ once again in all His glory. In all of it. And then in verse 2, David acts like a king. Look here in verse 2. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." David is now acting like a king. He's fulfilling his position. He tells the people how the ark is to be carried and who will carry it, and he doesn't ask for anyone's opinion this time. There can be too many voices. There can be way too many voices. I learned that in business. You don't need too many voices at all. So David doesn't ask for anyone's opinion. We don't need many voices in worship. We need one. He is. We need one voice this morning. Where I used to go to a place before I heard the gospel from Henry, by Henry. They used to stand up and, I mean, they'd have what they call a testimonial service. It'd last. Sometimes you couldn't get into the preaching because everybody was standing up. All the voices. We need one voice this morning. That's his voice. And that's through the preaching of His Word. That's how He's worshipped. Through Christ, through the preaching of His Word. We don't need many voices. Leaders must lead or step out of the way. That's what they got to do. It's the duty of pastors and elders to lead in worship and not seek everyone's opinion about it. That's right. We seek God concerning these matters. So David in verse 3, look here. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared before it. And of course, the chapter, verse before that, he'd gotten the Levites in their place. So David gathers the people together this time, listen, in quiet worship. I guarantee you, it was quiet. It was quiet. I gave a tape to a man one time that I worked for and let him listen to it, a tape of Henry at our church. And he came back the next morning and he said, was there anybody there? I said, well, there's 300 or 400 people there. He said, but man, that was quiet. He said, you didn't hear nobody. I said, well, it's called worship. He said, I couldn't take that. He said, I like it when it's everybody, you know, carrying on, out of order. I said, that's not worship. And I guarantee you this time when David gathered them together, I bet you could hear a pin drop. Because they was listening this time for the information. They was listening for the command. They was listening for the direction. That's what they were listening for. So David gathered them together in quiet worship. There was reverent awe of God this time, as there was at the last time. And then you'll see verses 4 through 12. David gathered the right people this time to carry the ark and conduct the service. He gets the right people. Without our high priest, Christ. You know, God is a God of order. He has set, and he's set men in the church, you know, some apostles and pastors and teachers, and there to teach and to preach. And Christ, our high priest, is the head of all of it. He's the head of all of it. And without him, you can't worship God. God cannot be worshipped apart and without being through Christ. It can't be done. And he says to them in verse 12, sanctify yourselves this time. Let's do it right. He said, sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart. Let's do it right this time. That's what he's saying. This time, let's do it just as God said. It's amazing. I thought it was amazing as I read this, how far off course you can get and not realize it. I mean, look at David. David's the king. Here, David is a man after God's own heart. David believed in the election of God's people. David believed in a sovereign God. But David attempted to worship God without the priest, the sacrifice, and the blood. And boy, did he pay for that one. It's just amazing how far off you can get and not realize it. In verse 13, he says here, for because you did it not at the first. In other words, what he's saying, he didn't say, he's not blaming them. He said, I didn't call you in on this the first time. You didn't do it the first time. It's what you're supposed to have been the ones doing it the first time, but we didn't. We did it all wrong, and the reason is we sought him not after the due order. We went to worship and didn't ask God a thing about it. Didn't seek him at all. Didn't seek him, the one we came to worship. The one we came to worship, we didn't seek him at all about it. That's amazing, isn't it? But David, that's what David owns up to the problem. He said, we sought him not after the due order. We left him out of it. Let us never make that mistake. Never make that mistake. Let us always seek God's presence through the high priest, through the blood, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek to worship him that way. That's the only way. So, verse 14, they do it the right way this time. Then verse 15, this time the right people carry the ark, the gospel. The ark is the gospel is Christ. They did it the right way with staves. They took it off the ark this time. They put the staves in it right. What they did, we're coming up to it. I'll show you what they did. They did it here as Moses commanded. Look over here in verse, 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. This is important here. Get a hold of this. They did it as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. They opened the book. They took the Bible down and opened it. They didn't do it The first time they didn't do it. He just had a thought in his heart and went wrong with it. But this time, he went and he got the Old Testament, opened it up over to Deuteronomy, where they discussed the ark, and where all the commandments about the ark's given, and David said, now this is the way it's to be done, according to the Word of God. They opened the book, God's Word, sought His will in the matter, and did it as He commanded. That's worship. And that's doing it right. And God has told us how to worship Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to know that, the only way we're going to know Him, is open this book. You can't know Him apart from this book. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Verse 16. The right people led the whole worship service this time, the Levites. There's an order to these things. You know, you don't just come in here this morning and wonder which one of us is going to do it. You know your pastor's going to be here. You know your pastor's going to stand up here and preach the gospel to you. Because that's the way God said do it. That's the way He said do it. The right people led the whole worship service. This time, look over in verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom. Some of these names are tough. I wouldn't dare pronounce them right. But they brought it up with joy, it says. There's real joy in true worship. Now this stuff you see people carrying on and getting just out of order. That's not real joy. Real joy is a real quiet conscience that worships God and enjoys His presence. There's real joy in true worship and doing it right. When Christ is present, worship is a joy. Worship is a joy. And in verse 26, it came to pass when God helped the Levites. Boy, I like that verse. When I read that, God helped the Levites. They didn't stumble. They didn't stumble. Here we have two big, strong oxen carrying that cart, and they stumbled with it. Here we have frail men carrying that ark, and they never stumbled. I tell you what, when it's done right, when God is sought in due order, the gospel is preached, the pastor doesn't stumble and the people don't stumble. They don't stumble. Our Lord said this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It wasn't to those oxen. It wasn't to those Philistines. Oh, it was awful. But it is to us because He helps us bear it. If He did not help us preach, we couldn't do it. If He didn't enable us to worship, we couldn't do it. We'd find a new cart. That's what we'd do. And note in verse 26, this time there's blood in their worship. Here in verse 26. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. Now I wish I'd wrote down the scripture because I went back and read it, but I didn't write it down. Every six paces, they did this. Every six, you know how long, it was a long walk, 50, 60 miles or more, back to where they was taking it. Every six steps, you count six steps off and off of this. Count six more steps off and off. There was a blood trail. That was a blood bath. I tell you what, the ark, and this struck me after I preached this last Wednesday night. But this didn't even hit me until after I preached it. The ark, God's presence, the gospel, cannot go forward except through the blood and the sacrifice. It can't do it. It can't do it. And then I thought when Christ, the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world, God could not create the earth. He would not have created Adam had the blood already not been there. Nothing could have, of creation or anything could have gone forward except the blood of Christ had already been in front of it. They could, and every six paces they did this. That was a Could you imagine walking upon that scene? All the blood that was shed. The priest doing it. The priest, you had the priest, you had the sacrifice, you had the blood. Now you can have worship. That was missing. God can only be approached in worship through the blood of His Son. Don't think that time has changed the way God is worshiped or approached. It's not. It will always be through the sacrifice, through the blood of God's Son, till time shall be no more. That won't change. And let us never be guilty of putting the gospel on a new cart. There's no better method than preaching. It's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's the way that is to be delivered, through preaching. How are we to guard against such failings? I wrote down four ways, and I'll give these to you just quickly. First of all, prayer. Seek the Lord continually. Never attempt worship without prayer. Secondly, be well acquainted with His Word. Well acquainted. Thirdly, keep worship a solemn matter. Keep it a solemn matter. And then fourthly, always keep the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord in our worship service. And we'll never fail. We'll never do what they did.
Let my soul look up with the steadfast.